Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls, episode 51. I'm Tim.
I'm Schuster.
And we're going to talk about San Diego Comic-Con, a lot of the things that were revealed, all the trailers, all the goodies. Schuster, how are you?
I am doing well. It has been a bit of a...
It's been some time
since we sat down and talked about things.
Yeah, if you're wondering where that time has went, you can listen to the last minisode I posted titled Castlevania and Cancer. It explains everything.
Ooh, I'll have to talk to you about Castlevania. I have not watched it all
yet. Okay,
all
right.
But I gotta...
I could talk Castlevania.
I have watched the first three.
You just didn't have that extra half hour in you?
No, I actually had to go to bed because I tried to be a normal adult.
Lame. Just dress yourself like I did.
Just dress yourself.
I dress like a 5-year-old.
He's got a sweet Sonic shirt on.
It is pretty sweet.
Camo pants. And even though it's a sports...
It's the Expos. The regular Expos hat.
It looked like he was wearing the Pokemon hat. So at a distance, it looked like he was trying to go fast while catching Pokemon while trying not to be seen.
Correct. I threw these pants on. I matched before. I had longer pants on. Mm-hmm. I looked like a normal human being wearing a Sonic shirt.
Of course.
But then I was like, you know.
But then he takes his hat off and completes the entire thing with the mohawk.
Yeah. For those who don't know, the mohawk is a pretty funny story where I was off for 2 weeks and my wife's like, you got to do something with that hair. And I said, okay. So I turn, I go right into the bathroom, I get the shaver out, and I shave my hair into a mohawk. And I come back out, and she goes, that is not what I meant, and you know it. And I said, yep, but that's what you get.
It's stuck. You asked for it, you got it. This is...
Yep. That's how it goes. I don't love it.
I don't hate it.
It's just
no.
I am the king of just doing things to do that.
What's funny is you have a funkier haircut than normal, right. But you wear hats 99% of the time.
Right, so you don't even know.
Yeah. That's why when you took it off, I was just like, that was like a little bow on the wardrobe.
Yeah. Did you tape the present shut? Yes, and I put a bow on
you
top.
You put a bow on
it. It is ready for Christmas morning.
It is ready to go fast.
So, Schuster, there's a lot that came out of San Diego. The Eisners happened. There's a million trailers. I won't bore everybody with the Eisners.
But you will.
All I'm going to say is Saga and Brian K. Vaughan win a lot of things.
Do they?
And I think Saga's good.
Not that good.
I think there's things that were better.
Ooh.
And I know this is very saucy language I'm spewing here.
I'm feeling some...
Now, I'm not saying Fiona Staples isn't good. I'm not saying Brian K. Vaughan isn't good. I'm not saying Saga is not good. But Saga has won best continuing... I like it when you do things like that to try to mess me up that are visual things. That's great.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you succeed.
It also shows that I'm actually hot.
It is hot in here.
You're welcome.
Don't worry, I got my Sonic shirt on. We'll go fast.
Dude, you gotta go fast.
I can talk like the Micro Machine guy.
I didn't grow up with Micro Machines.
Well, you should have. They're really tiny and you could choke to death on them.
Eisners.
So Saga.
I just hate on Saga.
That's
absolute
not what this
hate.
Is. No. Stop. No. But Saga has won, I think, 4 different times now. Best continuing.
They are the New England Patriots of.
Best. Continuing comics. Series. And I think some of that is warranted. I don't feel like this time it was.
Wow.
I feel like there's other series that
open on
really...
the storyline. Saga just didn't cut the bread.
It's tough. I mean, and it's an Image book that goes on hiatus for like a fair number of months. And it's just like... And I know that doesn't really matter as much, but I just feel like Saga was not a big part of my world in this interim.
Sure.
You know? So
what was a big part of your world?
A big part of my world. I am enjoying a lot of Image books, honestly. But there's a lot of other good stuff. But when you say that, Image books do come to mind. Plastic is a very screwed up,
mm-hmm.
horror, weird... It's just so weird. It's about a guy in love with a blow-up doll, and he's out of his mind. He's a psychopathic killer. And you know that from the beginning. And somehow, you still want him to A, win, and B, you want to find out more about him.
Wow.
So that's really good storytelling.
That's called compelling, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, very good. And Shirtless Bear Fighter is the funniest thing ever. It's great. I really like that book. It's a guy in the forest who fights bears, and they go into some details on why he may be fighting bears, and he has no shirt on. And bears start attacking the city, so they have to go get him.
You have to get him.
You hire him by giving him flapjacks. And there's a sweet nod to the X-Men 92 cartoon, if you look for it. Really? That book is hilarious. It's hysterical. Another hysterical book I enjoyed was Americarate, which is as great as it sounds. It's a parody, basically, of all 80s movies, especially, like, Commando comes to mind. And it's Sam Kickwell, and he's fighting the forces of evil. And really, I don't have
does
to say...
He do some, does he have something that he's good at? I wouldn't know.
He kicks well.
Does he?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he Sam's okay.
He does Sam all right.
Sam's all right.
Yeah.
I feel like every other book I always say is the same ones I've been continually reading. I think Black Science got really good.
Mm-hmm.
Black Science got really, really good. I'm curious how that'll be because that's about to end. Invincible's really good.
Invincible's fantastic. This guy got me in Invincible, and right. I was just like, well, here's a credit card for all the trades.
Yeah. You need to keep going because let me tell you, they're like 7 issues away from the end.
Wow.
And it is insane because knowing, I actually think it's better knowing that there's 7 issues left.
It's crazy how few issues there are left.
Right, because you're like, okay, this is they're going for this X storyline. I won't spoil, but then you're like, how are they gonna wrap all? What is the key points they're gonna hit upon? There's such a vast array of characters in that universe. Will they hit on all of them? Will they, like, let's say they don't. Let's say you don't know what happens to some, maybe, let's say the street level characters, like your Tether Tyrants and like some of those low level.
Yeah.
So those characters are like the Mahler twins. Will they show back up in like things later on after the series wraps? Who knows? I love the Mahler twins.
Yeah, where I ended is a real good storyline, real conundrum, and I'm not really sure where they can go from there.
I have theories on how Invincible will end. I have my fan theories. Maybe we'll do a minisode one day.
We should. Let me, I think I've got maybe one more. I think 22 I haven't read.
Okay, so you're almost there.
I think I read 21.
All right, well, whenever you're done your last trade,
I won't spoil where I'm at in the story for anyone who hasn't read.
It's good. Read it.
But, like, I think there's 22 trades out.
22 or 23 at
22
this point.
Or 23, and I think I've read up to 21, so I'm really close to at least the trades.
And I have the issues. I can loan you the issues so we can talk about them.
True. True. I might have to do that at the end instead of waiting for the trade, which is what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Rock Candy Mountain's really great. Our boy, Kyle Starks.
Our boy. Our boy.
He's my boy.
My boy.
It's about hobos. It's fantastic. Really? Yes, hobos following the railroad. Getting into some hobo trouble. And,
oh, man, the best kind of trouble.
And actually has the literal devil after them.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
It's really
I should
fun.
Go read my Rock Candy Mountain.
Yes, but then it wouldn't be part of your Schuster's out-of-date reviews.
Oh, man.
For those who don't remember, Schuster is eternally about 2 years behind on most books.
Yes.
So if you're like, what about that crazy thing that happened? He might know because he read it on the internet. But
it's sitting in the pile of comics.
So it's fun, but this is what I love about you. So when you do eventually read whatever issue, especially like your Avengers issues were a good example, you're like so mad about certain things, and I'm like, this is all I heard 2 years ago. It's so fun to see you newly angry about it.
I'm like a little time capsule.
Yeah, you are. We start a podcast and I open a time capsule from a few years ago. What was hot 2 years ago? I don't know. Ed Schuster.
Exactly. I keep it fresh for you. Once you've forgotten, I come reeling it back in.
You know, it was another good book I read, and it's going to sound strange to those who don't know anything about it.
Is it going
to
sound Doctor Strange?
No.
No.
I haven't read any of the Doctor Strange. I'm sorry.
I was hoping that pun would work.
I mean, it was an alright pun. No, okay. It wasn't. But I haven't been reading that book. Batman Elmer Fudd.
Huh?
They did Looney Tunes crossovers with DC characters.
Man.
Batman Elmer Fudd was the greatest thing
was it?
I've ever read. It's by Tom King, who we love. Tom King, who is currently writing Batman. And it was presented as a noir storyline where Elmer Fudd is this crazy guy walking around with a shotgun. All the Looney Tunes characters are humanoid. They're humans, but like they have traits from the, like Bugs Bunny is a buck-toothed guy, and he's like a snitch. And like they all meet up at a bar. Tasmanian Devil's like this giant punk rock guy you can't understand, and it's like
that's awesome.
It's so good, but like. And I'm like, that's a clever idea, but like the story was legit awesome. It was really good. So Tom King, you're amazing. You deserve that Eisner you won for Vision. Yes. Fantastic. I'm sure Leander will be happy. I haven't talked to him about it.
Him and his Vision comics.
Oh, he was right. I read them.
Sure.
No doubt he was right. No, unlike that Wolverine Jubilee thing he made me read. I don't know. It was a thing. Marvel, I'm not reading a ton of Marvel. I get Daredevil, but I'm very behind on it. Moon Knight has temporarily ended, which was great. I thought the Moon Knight run was good, not just because it's like my favorite character ever. It was actually a legit pretty fun run.
Sure.
DC is doing a lot of good stuff, and there's a lot of cool things coming out. Again, Tom King is going to do Miracle Man. I really want to see that. That'll be good, because that's a Kirby classic character. And that's about it for me, man. I read a little bit here and there, and a little bit of different things, but it's very Image, very Dark Horse, very Boom, very IDW. I'm not sticking with the big two that much. And I know DC's good, but I haven't really attacked any.
Why would you say Marvel is not so Marvel, piquing your interests?
Well, Marvel's in a unique position. If you remember October of 2015, I think it was, they're like, everybody gets a number one. And yes, they slowly trickled out. And it was a good strategy. Number one sell, everybody has a book, you're exposed to all these characters you may not have known about. It was good. A lot of books slowly start getting canceled, things start failing, things become totally awesome and nobody cares. But now we're at the point where we're 20, 30 issues in and it's too much. It's too many books that are just subpar. And also you have event fever where it's like we went from Civil War II into Secret Empire. There was probably one in between there. Like, I can't even remember because it's just event after event after event after event. And not all of them are important. And, like, Secret Empire seems huge. It seems very important, but I don't care. And I like Nick Spencer a lot, who's writing it, but, like, I don't want to dive into it, you know? And maybe for me it's a little different because I work at a store, so I hear everything. So if they're like, are you reading Marvel? I'm like, not really. They're like, do you care? I'm like, no, tell me. So like I have an idea of what's happening. I know some of the big crazy things they do. I also know almost every Marvel event, they do the same crazy formula of weird story. Hey, look, this thing's kind of crazy. Oh my God, did this guy do this? And then someone gets offed. It's like every event.
Exactly.
And I have event fatigue, you know. DC on their end, they do events a lot too, but they're usually on a smaller scale and they're not as vital to the entire universe.
I feel like Marvel
just has a lot of books that are underperforming. I don't know that that's any one person's fault. Like, I can't be like, well, this writer's not doing a good job, that's why. You can't read everything. If you have 25,000 number ones come out, you can't focus on all of them. So you have 80 number ones come out, and then it's like, all right, I like Moon Knight. I know that. But would I try some other good book? Probably not, because I'm like you. You get Avengers. You get Justice League. You like these things that you've always gotten. You're going to spend your $20 or whatever your budget is, because most people average, I would say, $20 to $30 a week.
Yeah, and I mean,
or a little less. Well, it's usually 20. I should clarify. Like, a lot of people maybe have $10 in their bin, but then they pick something off the wall, so they get closer to 20.
Yes, I'm definitely notorious. And you're just like, hey, did you read this? And I'm just like, do you have a number one? You're just like, it's on the wall, and there goes another $2 or $3.99.
Yeah, it all adds up. But basically, you know. Nobody can focus on some of these other cool books. Like, The Vision was really good, and it went under the radar. And Omega Men for DC, Tom King is on my brain. Those are both his books. That went under the radar.
Yeah.
And
I know what you mean, because, Green Lantern, I absolutely adore Green Lantern and Geoff Johns' run. And I stuck around for, I think, a good year past Jeff Johns' run, but I just didn't feel like it had the same oomph in writing. The book wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't bad, but I didn't care about reading it, where I was excited every month for Green Lantern.
So if you were the type of person, and this isn't saying that this is good or bad, but, like, if you were able to disconnect from Green Lantern enough...
Which was a tough thing for me to do.
If you had done it that year earlier, what books could you have probably jumped into? Exactly. Like, there's so many good things. And that's why I encourage people to read trades occasionally.
And I know that I'm definitely, you know, considering that with Justice League, but in terms of time, that was probably 2 years ago at this point.
Yes, keep that in mind. Everything Schuster says is from 2 years ago.
Or at least minimum like 6 to 8 months. But I think I picked up my Justice League comic that was next. I think it was after the Darkseid Anti-Monitor War, which I'm sure was a million years ago now.
Oh my god, yeah.
Yeah. And I picked up the book and I put the book down halfway through because it was so boring.
Yeah.
It was so much dialogue that I didn't feel like actually was going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I actively was bored and wanted to read something else. And I picked up a Doctor Strange comic because I'm a huge Doctor Strange fan. And I enjoyed the crap out of that. I read like 2 or 3 in a row. And I still got to get back to the Justice League.
Maybe one day you will. Who knows?
So maybe one day I will.
You know what you do? Just budget in one page per day. And, you know, in a few weeks, you'll have it.
But, like, you know, dropping Green Lantern, dropping maybe Justice League, but then again, I've got the Doctor Strange, which is great, Outcast, which is great, so there's still books.
I love that you love that, because I, like, forced you to read it.
You did. You're just like, it's Kirkman, read it, it'll be worth money, number one. I'm like, fine, I will angrily buy this number one.
Well, it's not worth a ton, but, like, I just remember I used that to get you to buy
you
it.
You did use it.
I was like, it'll be worth, like, 20, 30 bucks, and it is worth about 20 bucks. But,
yeah,
like,
and
it got a TV show, you know?
Which I haven't seen.
I watched season one, it was alright.
Okay.
I didn't keep going.
How faithful is it?
Fairly. It's just, there's certain things I think the book did better, and vice versa. But, you know, comparing it, like, how Preacher doesn't really follow the book too closely, Outcast more closely does follow the
book. That's good, because I find Outcast absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy with... I'm actually 10 times more likely to be happy to see Outcast in it than Justice League.
Yeah.
And originally, I'm a big Jeff Johns fan, so it was just like, every time I saw Green Lantern and Justice League, I was just like, yes, I'm going to get some real good comics out of this. And now I'm just like, ooh, Outcast. Meh, Justice League, and it's, you know, it's the evolution of the comic book reader.
It's tough, because it's tough to drop something, because I'm notorious for dropping things too early, and then they end the series, and I'm like, had I only just spent another, you know, 10-20 bucks, I could just sell the whole thing as one big lot.
Yeah, like, for instance, I was reading Female Thor, the original first run.
It was good.
I loved it. It was one of those books where I just kept eating it. And then with the last issue and the big reveal and the whole 9 yards. And then it ended. And I'm just like, I wanted more. And then they waited and waited and waited. They threw her into like a million different crossovers and big events.
There was a lot of Avenger one-shots and things.
Yeah. And then they finally brought it back. And I started reading it. And I was like, oh, this is cool. But like the fever,
cooled.
It cooled.
Yeah.
And the first story wasn't terrible. I think I read the first arc, but I just kept buying the book because it was in my bed, buying it, until I eventually took it off. And I think I have an arc or two sitting in a pile that I may never read because I got a giant backlog because I'm awful.
Sure.
But
they know.
But they do know.
They know.
But that was another thing where a book might decide to just stop so that they could do a big events, and Marvel does that with giant events constantly, and I stopped caring about, you know, Thor, quote unquote, because it's female Thor.
It's the mighty
not
Thor.
Odinson.
It's the mighty Thor.
The mighty Thor.
Get it right.
I'll try.
I won't be happy till Better Ray Bill is Thor.
Yes. Yes.
No, I actually enjoy all the Thor's, Odinson.
I like Thor has such a niche spot with me because it's such a fantasy based book.
Right.
That it's one of the reasons why I'm a big Doctor Strange fan, because it's not just like, oh, Spider-Man and the X-Men and, you know, the Avengers. They're very basic, you know, they fight against the super, you know, the villain basic type of stick. But Doctor Strange is going in an alternate reality to fight a cat demon that's, you know, trying to take over something. And it's like, it's so noir, so different that I always love that type of stuff. But that's a niche that I go to for myself. And probably a lot of other of you out there.
The last thing I'm going to rant about before we get into the trailers and
stuff.
I hate this, and Marvel's going to do it again.
Of course they are.
They're going to renumber their issues. So I believe the first one that they showed in previews, Mighty Thor number 700.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that.
Do you? Why? Tell me why.
Because I don't like constant number ones. I don't like constant reboots. I like the fact that they're and maybe not artificially bringing it back to 700. Maybe that's
what I don't like.
Maybe that's not so much. But that's why when I heard Action Comics many years ago stopped at whatever that number was. Mm-hmm. The high, was it like 500s or something?
900s.
Oh, it was 900s. Even worse. And I was just like, Action Comics number one. We're gonna, it's just like, I don't know, some flavor lost from it, some nuance lost from it, you know.
And they went back to the numbering as well. But it's almost like, in my opinion, and if anybody feels differently, feel free to leave comments and let us know. But I feel like, yes, I love long continuities. I love consistency. I love being able to say, oh, you collect Spider-Man? What are you looking for? Issue 100 to 400. Cool, I'll help you.
Yeah.
I think that's ambitious. I love that. But I want them to start over with whatever number they're on and do it again and get there naturally. I don't want it to just be like, 700. Because as a retailer, do you know how hard it is to help people find issues? I mean, Marvel's already done this once or twice as it is. Their main books. I mean, the X-Men have a million number
now
ones.
Now I might, I'm going to disagree here. And you're
brave.
I'm always brave in the face of danger.
I have coffee. You should be fine.
You're okay. But even though you are technically the professional here, but I think it's harder to find books when they reboot constantly. Because it's like, I want floor number two. Well, what Thor number two are you looking for? Are you looking for the reboot from 2 years ago, the reboot from 3 years ago, the reboot from 4 years ago type of thing? Whereas at least if I tell you Thor 137, there's probably one, maybe two 137s, if two even exist. So it's a more concrete number that you can go after. If I say I need, Avengers 11, you're just like, what Avengers 11? Because they've probably had a bunch of Avengers 11s.
My brain went to a very nerdy place to where I know. I don't think there is actually a Thor 137 because it was Journey into Mystery.
Because it was Journey into Mystery.
And then it went into the other. So I don't know that there's a Thor 130.
Wow. I just
started laughing because I'm like, I don't think there's one. Then I started laughing into myself because I'm like, that's really stupid and nerdy. I shouldn't even know that.
That's why we, that's how our brains function.
Yeah, they flicker on synapses and the devil.
The devil.
The devil.
But overall, it seems to be pretty good for comics these days. Maybe not necessarily for Marvel, but
I just think Marvel needs to focus a little differently on what they're doing. I think they'll be fine. I mean, their movies are fine. It's kind of like they focus on Iron Fist, Power Man and Iron Fist got a book because the Iron Fist was coming out on Netflix and Cage had just wrapped relatively in between. Yeah. And the book is all right, I'm told, but like I would have put so much into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know. I would have put Mark Waid on it. I would have put, like, your superstar guy on it. I would put Bendis on it.
But do you think that's because of, was it Quesada versus Feig? You know,
maybe to it
because an extent. I mean if nobody keeps up with rumors, I know that there was a lot of issues per se between Feige, I think is how you pronounce it.
However,
yeah. And it's Quesada, right? Joe Quesada is the head of
Quesada, yeah.
Yeah, is the head of Marvel Comics,
editor in chief,
Editor in chief and whatnot. Yeah. And they butt heads all the time, so they're two entities basically that could help each other. But due to them just disagreeing, these are rumors.
Sure.
So just understand that these are, as far as I know, they're
and
not.
And this is Ben Schuster's rumor mill.
This is the rumor mill.
It's me.
Premium locks. Sound effects brought to you by Capes and Scouts. Vivouge. Vivouge. I don't know what that was.
That's a really hoity-toity kind of
But do you think that might be the case?
It could be. And, like, Quesada, I have a love-hate relationship with the man. But I could see where this would be hard for him because he's got to focus on the comics, which is a lot more properties, mm-hmm. at going at once. Plus, he has to focus on the X-Men and Wolverine and, until recently, Spider-Man that wasn't part of his movie continuity. Mm-hmm. So,
But they did a whole lot of shenanigans with that because... You know, Fantastic Four, they cut off. They diminished but they, greatly X-Men.
They made X-Men boring. I'm not the X-Men guy. I'm not going to go into my diatribe.
Yeah, this is going to be your Tim, the X-Men fan's opinion on X-Men. Go on.
Now that's all I really feel about the X-Men today. Really
summed up in one fell burp.
Yeah, that's only because I couldn't work the fart loud enough. So let's talk about the trailer.
Oh, you just shotgunned.
I did.
Four trailers in a row
that I had not seen. I had avoided them for this very reason. And I had seen a few trailers, but I avoided the big ones.
Yeah, so I have watched the trailers when they come out because I'm a giant nerd and I have the time to do that.
You are giant.
And now we're going to talk about four major ones. But first, we'll go in order from what he watched because we literally just I showed him four trailers and then we started the podcast.
Before we do those four, very briefly, is there any other trailer from anything that was brought out that you kind of enjoyed?
Stranger Things.
Okay.
Well, we didn't watch it because he hasn't finished. Tim hasn't finished the greatest TV show in the last couple months. That's right. I could have went high, but I diverted to low.
I was looking down there.
You were looking down there. No, Stranger Things is absolutely fantastic, and they had a fantastic basically teaser trailer, because it was a larger, longer trailer, but... It didn't really give too much away, but it really did help tease the show. Mm-hmm. I really did enjoy it. I think the ones that I didn't care for were the CW ones. Mm-hmm. Just a personal note, I just don't think The Flash season 3 and Arrow season 5.
I think they're farther than that. They could be.
Yeah.
I think Flash will be going on 4, and I think Arrow is going on
6. Well, no, these are the trailers 6? For 4, and then I think the trailer for Arrow season 6. But I could be wrong.
I think that's what it is.
Let us know if I'm
wrong. It's irrelevant.
I just feel Arrow has diminished in quality. I think season 5 helped a bit. It was better, but not nearly as good as the first two. The first two are fantastic seasons. Yeah. And then The Flash was fantastic first two seasons, in my opinion. Some mm-hmm. people may not have liked season 2 nearly as much as I did, but I did really like season 2. And season 3 was generally awful. I did not like season 3. It was boring, mm-hmm. and they teased Flashpoint, and they completely poured a dumpster truck on it. Like, it was just... It was so convoluted and awful. Mm-hmm. So, even though those trailers were exciting in terms of trailers... the fact that they were lackluster in the previous seasons makes me not nearly as interested.
What did you think of Bright?
I have such high hopes uh-huh. for not only just Bright, mm-hmm. but the idea that a company like Netflix can make a big budget blockbuster style film and only put it on their network.
I love that.
And it could be as big as any blockbuster out in the theater, and that excites me as a fan more than anything.
I saw the trailer, and I was like, when it starts, I'm like, I don't know. And as it went on, I was like, oh, this actually seems kind of cool. But then there's things that worry me about it. Will Smith is perfect for this, I think.
Yes.
He's not perfect for everything he's casted in.
Yes.
But I think he's okay for this. But then you have Will Smith and the people who did Suicide Squad attached to it. And now I'm a little more
here's the thing. My hatred of Suicide aside, mm-hmm. He did do End of... Was it... not End of Days. End of Watch.
Okay.
It was.
Okay. And, End of Days is good, too, by
and
the way.
Yeah, End of... that was all in it, I think, the other...
Schwarzenegger fighting the devil.
Schwarzenegger fighting the devil.
Way better than it ever should have been.
It was decent.
Yeah.
No, it was on HBO Go, and I put it on because I was bored.
There you go, that's fine.
And I realized how old it was. It was, like, from the late 90s.
So it felt old, but it was still good,
but
right?
It was still good, yeah. I was just like, wow, that's... anyway, he did good movies. He did Training Day, right?
Yeah, I think that was
him. Yeah, so he's had good films. And then he has the botched abomination that is Suicide Squad.
Well,
so, yes, if all you do is go last film for what he did...
Well, yeah, but my thing is... Suicide Squad, not a great movie.
Awful.
But, and it sounds weird to say this off the premise of Suicide Squad, because if there's ever a movie that should be rated R and way done up, it's this one. But as a teen kind of movie, where you're appealing more to the teenage crowd, Suicide Squad succeeded in that regard.
Yes, there was a lot of people who liked it who were not comic fans.
Because I watched it off HBO, because I'm not going to pay to go see that movie.
I
found myself not hating it as much as I thought I was going to. I enjoyed it for just turning my brain off and that. But
It's the fact that you watched. I do feel like sometimes I get a difference of opinion when I watch things just on my TV versus going to that theater.
Well, sure, because you've paid $20-$30
to go
see it.
I also think it's the experience too.
Sure. Yes.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't think my face could have cringed harder at Jared Leto's Joker, more so than I did in that theater. And I looked around and I saw a lot of just, like, cringed faces, too. And I don't think I would have felt as cringy watching it at home by myself or with another, you know, just a handful of people.
Sure.
You know, it's a different experience. So, but, all aside, we all know that movie's German awful. But, it's just a different perspective from watching it in two different locations.
I feel like that movie's a little bright at times, if that makes any sense. And I feel like this trailer looked a little bright. And I'm not being funny. It's very colorful, and it just doesn't seem natural.
Really?
Do you know what I mean?
Not real. I know what you mean, per se, but I don't know if I agree with it there. I think some of the sore point was... I don't know why it took me out of the film when, you know, for anyone who's seen it, it starts off and then you find out that orcs and elves are in real, you know, in the modern world, and then you get the general sense of the world, and then they're just like, she has a magic wand, and I don't know why that premise threw me out of it. I like the idea, but the presentation of using the term a wand,
I didn't mind that.
I don't know, it was weird. Like, it doesn't hurt. It didn't hurt. I'm going to watch it, but I was just like, it caught me weird.
I liked it.
Magic wand? Like, I don't know. It just...
I liked it, and I'll tell you why. I liked it because they say magic wand, and you associate magic wand with, you know, witches, and like in like Disney, it's like princesses, maybe, or like, you know. And that's probably why you cringe a little bit, but I like that they say magic wand, and then the following X scenes
is witch
show
ranging.
You... shows you how badass this wand really is.
Yes.
To where it's this godlike device that everybody needs.
And
so you instantly know the plot, and you saw a million explosions that were very bright.
Yes. And I agree with you, but it just caught me funny. When we've got this serious tone movie that has these incredible Lord of the Rings style elements to it, and then it's always just like, a magic wand? Out of nowhere just threw me off.
One wand to rule them all.
And I can't express how much I enjoy watching Joel Egerton play in movies. Warrior is probably one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's a good movie.
No, it's more than good.
Okay.
In my book. It was. All right. And you could give me hate. I don't care. I'll fight all of you.
Whoa,
Warrior fighting, you get it?
Schuster fights. But it's like bum fights, but quicker.
I thoroughly loved Warrior, and the things I've seen Joel Egerton do is great. So I didn't know it was him until I looked it up.
Right.
I know it says Joel Egerton there, but...
Your brain couldn't process that.
I didn't... It, for some reason, it didn't... Because he's in the orc costume.
Sure.
But overall, I think it's great. I think it's great more because it looks like a blockbuster film. It looks like something that is going to win its weekend.
Right.
But it's not. It's coming out. I think it's on my birthday too, in the middle of this, at the end of December, which is pretty cool.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Merry Christmas to everyone.
It's a very bright birthday I'll have.
Oh, come on, only I do these. Last thing I want to talk about before we go to the big four, Death Note. What did you think of Death Note?
I'll preface this with I've never watched a single episode of Death Note.
I've seen like one.
Okay. I understand the premise. I don't know anything after the premise. I watched it. I'm intrigued. It's Netflix. I own a monthly subscription to Netflix. I will watch it. Right. I love Reich, whatever his name. What's the actor? I'm bombing on his name.
Dude, why are you bombing on his name?
The demon.
Dude, why are you bombing on the... I don't know who played the demon. I wasn't paying attention.
Anyway, him. I like him. It's really cool that he's in there. And the story seems interesting. It could be really cool.
I like how he looked. I couldn't believe how accurate it was to the cartoon.
And the fact that, as far as I know, from the trailers that I saw, he wasn't fully in the light. He was always in the background, in the dark, kind of shaded. So it wasn't like, here's a massive CG thing. William Dafoe.
Oh, that was William Dafoe.
That was Dafoe, yeah.
Oh, well, now this is instantly the greatest thing ever.
You didn't hear that from his voice?
Hey, it could have been a guy trying to channel some Dafoe.
Okay.
You know?
No, that's why I was just like, that's really
Dafoe.
Cool.
Dafoe.
Dafoe.
I don't even care about these other four trailers now. I'm going to go home and watch the anime of Death Note, and I'm going to get ready.
Did you see the extended one?
I don't think I did.
Where he's...
It was long, but I don't know that it was...
Where he was talking with the demon, and the demon hands him the book?
Yes, I did see that.
Super cool with the bullies outside.
Yeah.
I saw the original trailer that didn't show... I'm going to butcher his name, but I think it's Rourke is the demon.
It was Mickey Rourke, yeah.
Yeah, Mickey Rourke and Defoe's
body. Defoe is...
And they didn't show him, but then Comic-Con, I think, released that whole thing, and it was awesome. It was really good. And then I read all the comments, and all the anime fans who, like, insta-protest, insta-hated.
It's funny, because I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And anime hasn't had good transitions to TV and film, in general. So this might be the one that's like the closest to being mainstream and people liking. So I understand the pushback, but me not having watched it and me not caring as much in that regard, like I like anime. I like anime a lot, actually. But, you know, I don't care if they turn this into a movie.
Yeah, I know that as a side note, I haven't watched them, but I was interested in the, was it Rurouni Kenshin, the Japanese ones? They looked pretty good.
Yeah, Kenshin was good.
I saw the trailer for... Full Metal Alchemist.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looks a little weird because it's hard to transition this stuff fully.
It is.
And it's also not like Hollywood doing it. It's Japanese companies. So they add their... They have a specific flair that I've seen.
Sure, yes.
They have a look to them.
Yes.
So,
and I like that.
But it was intriguing. I was intrigued by it because I'm a big...
Huge.
Alchemist fan. Grew up a Rurouni Kenshin, so that got me really interested. Mm-hmm. I think Attack on Titan got something.
Yeah.
They don't know anything on Attack on Titan other than Titans, walls,
so
grappling hooks, go.
I've watched... So. I randomly watched one episode with Kevin Michael, and he's like, this is not the one you should be watching. I'm like, well, let me just watch it and see what it is. And he's like, no, this will make no damn sense. And it was just like the heroes and the villains sitting in the tree, and they're just talking for 30 minutes while the Titans are under the tree, like, waiting to eat them.
Oh, wow.
I was like, wow, you were right. This really isn't the one to watch. He goes, yeah, you picked the worst one to watch. But I understood the concept after it. I asked questions and, you know.
Yeah, I've seen enough of the trailers and enough pop culture to know the basis of Attack on Titan. I couldn't begin to tell you.
I don't want to comment on it. I'd rather watch it.
Exactly.
And then comment, just because it's so beloved in certain circles of anime fans.
Oh, it is.
And I feel like a lot of anime fans probably reject it because they're like, oh, that.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the comment section for Death Note, it's just like, bruh, the main character didn't do that. Bruh. And it's like, I'm sure it could be even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And like the other videos for Rurouni Kenshin, you know, Full Metal and Attack on Titan and stuff
like that.
It's
probably really bad in Full Metal.
It probably, it just looks weird because it's like, you know, Full Metal looks really good on anime, but trying to bring that to light and would be rough, and it looked a little rough. But I don't mind that it looked a little rough as long as it, you know, is entertaining. It's just I'm okay with subtitles. It's just that I prefer to have the dub most of the time.
Who's Defoe in that?
I don't know.
Defoe's not in it?
No.
Then I don't care if it exists at all. You're just like, meh, Defoe! I'm going to go watch a Death Note trailer on, like, repeat now.
You should.
Defoe!
Here's a book of the death. Anyway.
All right, let's get to them big four.
All right, the big
time
four.
Time is winding down here.
Time let's is do winding it. Down. So, I have seen the trailers already. Tim has not, because he has just shotgunned them one after another.
That's right.
Watched, started.
All four of them.
All four. Okay. The first of four.
Yes.
The Defenders Comic-Con trailer.
Defenders Comic-Con trailer. I enjoyed it.
Really?
Yes. I enjoyed it. It showed you a little bit more Sigourney Weaver, which is what I wanted. It looks...
Always get... More Sigourney Weaver is okay in my book.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that it revealed anything amazing. And it kind of looks like it's following the same kind of formula of, you know, Stick gets captured and beat up for a while. And then they talk some smack to his face, and then, like, people show up to save him. You know, it's a little formulaic, but it didn't do anything to insult me. I didn't hate it. The interaction between the four main characters was fine. And it was a little witty, a little comical, and it kind of needs to be.
It does, in my opinion.
I thought Daredevil looked really weak in the trailer, and I wonder if there's a reason for that. He just seemed off to me.
I think it's just the trailer, in my opinion.
I think it might be, but it's just interesting, because perception...
There is also some story notes that I had read from the rumor mill today based on, apparently, the first three episodes... Four episodes were up for review by, you know, reviewers. So that came out. And then I heard, you know, how long after Daredevil Season 2, some things that happened, you know, for why he's in the position he's in. So it might spread some light, but obviously the trailer didn't do that.
Sure.
So you don't have all that extra. But,
Right.
I think Defenders for me was the weakest trailer only because you haven't finished Iron Fist. I have, and we can both agree that it feels very weak.
It's very hard.
Now...
Hence why I didn't finish it.
Exactly. I normally binge the Netflix Marvel stuff. I binged all four, I guess, now.
You know what? And it's like, Luke Cage was alright, but like the last half of it was really hard for me to finish as well.
I can understand that.
Once Diamondback got a suit, he was harder to watch.
That was like the last one or two episodes.
No, it was more. Because when he shows up the first time and he's just shooting everybody with guns, he was great. But the minute it just didn't work for me.
I liked it a tinge because it was very comic booky.
It was super comic booky. But then it's almost like their fight.
Because they want to have this weird melding of like, it's realist, it's more real, down to earth. But you realize the comic material is comic booky.
Yeah.
And to see that, I was like, that's cool. It might, and a lot of people didn't like that, and I can understand that, but I liked it for what it was. I understand that it wasn't everyone's cup of tea.
Sure.
But the fact that it was a more down, more nitty-gritty, and then you've got this weird dude in a literal cosplay, you know, suit, punching, you know, Luke Cage and having no real business being able to go toe-to-toe with him.
That fight just went way too long.
A bit.
Because it's like... They weren't doing anything super shocking. They were literally just on this one street for 10 minutes punching each other.
Exactly.
And that was... Well, we're not here to talk about it. Let's go to the next one. Come on.
Anyway, so you like Defenders.
I like Defenders. I agree. It's probably the weakest one out of the four. But it's not bad. It doesn't...
No. It's not bad at all. It's just... barring the CW crap, it's the weakest of the good trailers that we've seen. Walking Dead Season 8.
So what?
5 minutes.
Yes. 5 minutes is pretty long. I always enjoy the trailers for Walking Dead before the season comes out. Because I'm up to current with the book.
Oh, so you are full knowledge.
Full knowledge of how the book is supposed to go.
Okay.
And I know that the show will loosely follow it, most likely.
Yes.
I use the word loosely.
Loosely.
But this, and Walking Dead, just like the CW shows, have that formula of we can't just be blowing things up all the time. We can't blow our budget on creature effects all the time. I know it makes a ton of money, that show, but that's not my point. It's like they kind of work on dialogue and other things to fill their hour in.
Yeah.
And like last season, it kind of felt like they used their budget at the end of the season to...
And it loses a lot of people.
It does.
Walking Dead currently might be a highly rated show, but it's a very highly contested,
sure,
opinion show.
Right.
Now...
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, go ahead, because I'm going
to... I was just saying is that I used to watch it pretty religiously, and this last season, the group that I would go on Sunday nights to go see are just like... I mean, I think for the most, for the first half, you know, for the mid-half of the season, we would go over and hang out with the people that we would watch Walking Dead with, but we didn't turn it on. Or we turned it on, but it was in the background, and we didn't care.
Right.
Like, we weren't focused on the show, and I think that's a real... issue.
Sure.
You know.
So, this trailer was full of action. Nothing but action.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, cool one-liners. It was like an 80s movie trailer.
Yeah.
I don't die!
I've been fighting since the farm. You're gonna shit your pants.
You're gonna shit your pants. You got your pants on? The trailer showed you many characters. It showed you what a lot of them will be doing. It had a lot of motorcycles riding around blowing up boxes. I didn't feel that trailer represented where the book was going very well.
Okay.
But the tone of a lot of fighting would be accurate to the book. Not to spoil anything, but that part of the book is All Out War is the name of that.
Yeah, and that's a big moniker.
Sure. So that's kind of where they're at, the show reaching that part in the book. So, I mean, you can't do all that they've done and not have a lot of fighting at this point between those survivors and Negan's forces. So, and then you have the dead in between.
Yes, and I think that's what the show needs. I know a lot of people get bored, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. A lot of storylines go nowhere. A lot of storylines fall flat. Just a lot of airtime, I just feel, is completely, useless. But I do think, from what I know of the All Out War storyline, you could have a blistering season of just one after another great episodes.
Yep.
Kind of like a Game of Thrones style, where it's just like every episode is great. Yep. Every episode, something major happens, and it can be enjoyable. Because there are times in Walking Dead where it's just like multiple episodes before anything relevant happens, and you're just like, come on.
Now, did you... The thing at the end of the trailer where Rick's in bed with the beard, so many people lost their mind over that.
Because so many people think it's the dream sequence.
Right.
I was going to say the dream sequence. Because a lot of people think the rumor is that Rick is in the coma dreaming all this.
No, that's not going to be.
Yes. Correct me, and I believe has said that that's not it, but people believe it on the internet.
I've heard people going off about that, and I hadn't even watched it, but I knew to look for it, because that's how much people were raging about it.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think that's where it's going to go.
I think I know where it's going to go, because I've had things spoiled, but it's, you know...
I just... That look for Rick kind of is a nod to where it is going, I think. So... We will see.
But that trailer was pretty good.
Yeah, that thing at the end was not to piss you off with dream sequences. That's almost like, hey, stick in there, comic people, because we're getting there.
I was going to say, I did feel like it was out of place.
It was.
Very tonally out of place.
Yes.
And it was longer. The tease was long. You stared at the cane for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, and then you stared out of focus at Red for 20 years, and you're just like, what the hell is going on? And you get hit by that, and you're just like, what in the what?
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know if I like it at the end. I think it was maybe a little too much. But
I think it was just done to troll people.
But I think it was, but when you said that it was done to troll the comic people, I'm okay with it now.
Yeah.
Knowing that some comic book people were just like, that!
Oh, no. It's not trolling the comic people. It's trolling the TV people.
Oh, trolling the TV people.
You have it reversed, yeah.
Okay.
The comic people are
any
like,
troll is a good troll. So.
Of course you think that. All right, let's keep going. We're running
all right,
we're going to wrap this
now
up.
Now we're
let's
at
do
the
it.
Top two. Countdown, Justice League, Comic Con trailer.
You had some boom in that voice. You want? What do you think I'm going to say? You always, you and I, we see differently on. Look at you getting ready. You feel differently about DC than I do.
I'm feeling a warehouse scene fight coming up.
Well, to clarify, I hated Superman versus Batman, whatever the hell. Suicide Squad.
And he hasn't seen Wonder Woman yet.
And I want to see Wonder Woman, but I haven't. I know. But besides that, I didn't hate the trailer. There's things I liked about it. I thought Steppenwolf looked good. A lot of people were complaining Darkseid didn't look right, and that made me laugh. I was like, you're right, in a way. The only thing I think the trailer made me get a little worried about was, like, bad dialogue. And I say that because I think Aquaman had some pretty bad one-liners.
Oh, yeah!
Right, yeah, like, you can have weird one-liners and in the movie and it'll be funny, maybe. But in the trailer, don't do that. Because right now, my brain's remembering Batman and Robin and, you know, Cowabunga! And, like,
yeah.
That's where my brain went. Because I'm like,
oh, the dinosaurs died.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So,
yes. I think the trailer looked fine. I'm on the fence with The Flash. Cyborg looks great.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else looks fine. Aquaman, he looks good. It's just so weird to see him in the light. Because everything that they've shown us prior to this has been very dark and grittier.
Yes.
And it just looked different to me. The way his eyes looked a little different.
Okay.
Like, there was just little things. He looks correct.
Yes.
But they made him look so dark and gloomy and, like, all the teaser promotional stuff. And so I just thought that was a little odd. So, reviewing it as a trailer and not really indicative of how the movie will be, I think it was fine.
Yes.
I thought it was good.
I think I can finally agree with you.
Yay.
Yay.
Who knew?
Yay.
Who knew?
One or two pieces of the dialogue was a little cringe. I think
Kool-Aid Man was behind.
Kool-Aid Man thing was a little rough. I don't mind the Ezra Miller Flash. I don't know much about him.
I
like him visually.
Yeah.
The actor who I didn't know anything of, and I know everyone was shitting on, I think is pretty good so far. I got no real complaints because I haven't seen the film. He was in, like, a teensy little scene in Suicide Squad, and that was it. So it was like, you can't really, gripe about that.
Right.
I think the biggest problem I have is two things. One, I like the Batman v Superman trailers. And then I saw the film.
Right.
We all know where that went.
Yes.
Your favorite. So I'm hoping, calm yourself. Calm down.
Look at these tits. They won't come.
They are rats.
Everything.
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 So we're going to have that issue again where I think the trailers look great and then go in and go see an incohesive mess. Hoping that's not the case.
Right. I don't want it to feel like I'm watching a student art film.
Yes. Now that's where I think my second point comes in. I think the trailer looked good, but I don't think the visuals are all that appealing. It looks CG. It looks too CG. Yeah. All the dark reds, all the really CG black backgrounds. No, that doesn't look very epic or heroic. It looks far too CG. I'm getting, like, episode one, flashbacks. Star Wars prequel flashbacks where everything's goddamn CG.
Be so crazy.
Exactly. And it's just, like, the first time I saw the scene where Aquaman crashes through the building, I thought was awesome. And then it was pointed out in the comments that it looked far too red and looked far too CG. Now, the first time I watched it, I had just a giant erection, so I really wasn't really paying attention.
I noticed that.
But I watched it again and went...
The idea of it, but it was like he just... Spitting him out the door, the way he fell, just didn't feel natural at all to me.
Exactly. The whole motion kind of...
I don't even know if, like, the size of them was correct. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It looked a little... And it could just be the camera angle, and maybe it works, but as far as the trailer presentation, it looked weird.
I think a couple of those lenses need to be taken off those cameras.
Yeah, can we just fisheye the whole movie?
Yeah. The other thing is I'm hoping that doesn't happen, and this goes into a gripe of mine that I personally don't think it's a spoiler for Wonder Woman,
mm-hmm.
but there was a lot of slow-mo in Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I love Wonder Woman, but I hate slow-mo anymore. I do. I just fucking hate it. And you can do action in camera. We were so much better.
We were so close to no F-bombs.
Yeah, well.
Slow-mo got it.
Slow-mo. The Justice League trailer does the F-bombs for you. So, slow-mo in general. I think the shot was cool in the beginning where she kind of like dodged the bullet there. But I don't want too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
I want in-camera action. I don't want jump cuts. I don't want to be completely discombobulated watching a fight scene. But I also don't want to be like lazy, like hand holding a child with slow-mo everywhere. I just gotta be a middle ground, and I'm not going to think I'm gonna see what I wanna see out of the Justice League there. I think it's gonna be a lot of the things I don't like. It's going to lower the fight scenes for me. But I don't think it's gonna hurt, like be like, oh, they're awful. I just think I'm gonna be like, I could have done better without that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited for it. Most people are not. Most people saw Bat v Supes and like I've been on the hate train ever since. And Suicide Squad jumped on board and like extended it, and then Wonder Woman like threw water on it, cooled it down a bit,
mm-hmm.
but people are still like hesitant, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we will see. This is a huge movie for them. This is like make it or break it.
This is make or break it. And with the news I broke to Tim about the directors changing hands, to those who don't know, Snyder is not right now the director of the film. He directed the film. They have gone back to do reshoots. And in the editing room, he's done as the director. He unfortunately, and you'll have to research it, I don't know the full story, but unfortunately one of his children passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So he stepped away for personal reasons. I feel really bad about that. That's awful.
Yes.
So to see him get taken off is awful due to the circumstances, but also the fact that he doesn't get to fully do his vision.
Right.
And so a lot of people might give the movie crap for that or whatever. But they brought Joss Whedon in to direct to finish the movie.
That's crazy.
What? Yeah. Big right hook out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's man.
Just like, really? The architect of the Avengers is taking over the DCU, at least in the Justice League? So right now he is taking over editing, and he's also going to do the reshoots. And that means a totally different film.
Yeah, it basically will.
Exactly. Originally, they said, no, it's going to be Snyder's vision. He's going to follow very coherent. He's just going to be an editor. And rumors kept coming out more and more that he's going to have more control, more reshoots, more editing. And now it seems like it's going to be Snyder's shot film, but Joss Whedon's edited and reshot film. So we have no idea what's going on, but I feel a lot better.
It makes it you really want to see the movie.
Exactly.
To see what you get.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's a very interesting right turn there. Now, granted, the fact that Joss Whedon didn't do any of the pre-production, the actual directing, means that it's still going to be a good Snyder film, but it's going to get that Whedon twist.
Mm-hmm.
More so than I think people understand.
Right. Reshoots are huge.
Reshoots are huge. Apparently, they spent $25 million on the reshoots, which is unheard of in the business.
Yeah.
That's a huge money to be put in the reshoots, which, of course, has a lot of people worried, but also people happy to see that they're putting much effort into it.
I mean, if I worked for DC, I'd be worried. Mm-hmm. From a fiscal standpoint, but if they're reshooting big scenes, especially if it's like the end where all the characters are together, the CGI, it's going to cost.
Well, considering the fact that Man of Steel, Bat v Supes, Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, all of them have grossed a minimum $650, I think, mm-hmm. million, I think they could justify those reshoots because I think they have the money in there,
mm-hmm.
and Justice League hopefully will be closer to $1 billion. I haven't looked at Wonder Woman's figures in a while, but I know Wonder Woman was doing really well. So I do think they have good... Now, granted, they're not Marvel. They're not Marvel hitting $1 billion in every goddamn film post-Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, they're blockbusters still. They're still getting $600, $700, $800 million, which is insane for films.
Sure.
But they're also putting a lot more money into it because they expect a lot more out.
Right.
So it's a very interesting thing there. And the reason for a lot of people disliking the reshoots is because Suicide Squad was notorious for having insane reshoots and the suits from Warner Brothers coming in and changing David Ayer's vision. And people to this day say, the movie that we got is not David Ayer's film, and it's awful because of that. We don't know if that's true or not, but the rumors say otherwise. The rumors say the suits have a lot to do with that cut. So that has a lot of the fans and a lot of the non-fans worried that the film is going to be bad because all they do is see reshoots. They saw that with Suicide Squad. Granted, Whedon's at the helm. So there are not fans of Whedon out there for some reason, in my opinion. I don't know why, but I think overall I think it's good.
He's a mole. He's going to destroy
it. Yes. That's the 1% there who think that.
Yeah, he's a mole, and when he's done, he's going to go sit on the Iron Throne.
So, we come to the coup de grace of trailers. Ooh. You have seen.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen as well multiple times.
Yep.
I'm a nerd.
Yes, you are.
Ragnarok.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. I give a more ominous tone to a very much more upbeat film and trailer. Go.
Garbage. Just kidding. I liked it. I knew I would, so I was kind of looking for what was it really telling me.
Mm-hmm.
It had a happier, upbeat vibe, even though it's showing you war and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, their interactions, the dialogue they chose to show you was more upbeat. Hela looks amazing.
I know.
I love that character. And they look like they're doing it right. So, amazing.
Yes.
I couldn't be any happier. That was my big thing. I was like, she needs to be amazing.
Yes.
And, you know, to have a strong female villain is great.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, she looked, I mean, on the big screen. I know we have Sigourney Weaver coming up, and she'll probably be really good too. But just on the big screen,
mm-hmm.
I'm really digging that. I really am excited for that.
Yes.
The interaction with Banner and Thor, they were all fine. Introducing the other characters that were going to be a part of it. They showed a lot of characters that I think were in Planet Hulk just real quick.
I agree.
Which was fine. That was good. I like that they throw in things that really only the comic people would know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, there's a big-looking rock guy. Well, that's relevant.
Well, I wonder who that is.
Right, exactly. So, and I love the end. The font to Thor Ragnarok almost looked He-Man She-Ra-like.
It's awesome, I know.
I love that. And
the
music combined with that gave you a happier, like how Guardians kind of is.
A lot of people are calling this Thor Guardian.
And I could see that. And
Thor of the Galaxy.
I'm fine with that.
Guardians of the Thor.
Now, can we get better Ray Bill in here, please?
I was expecting him in this trailer, honestly, out of nowhere.
I think they'll save him. I think he'll show up.
Yeah.
Even
just a tiny little presence. Oh, my
that's,
God.
That's all
Beta
I mean.
Ray Bill versus Thor. Or a Hulk.
Man.
Yeah.
If they did that.
But, yeah, the tone is very upbeat. I'm enjoying it. It's very colorful. The music of the trailers have been fantastic. What did you think about Hulk?
In most scenes, I liked it. Him talking the way he talked wasn't bad, but I don't think they chose the best dialogue again.
Yeah, no, it was a brief dialogue. It was, just a little, my God, just, he talks moment.
Sure, right, and I got that. But, like, and maybe that is the best moment of him just talking with Thor, which would be bad. But if everything else is Hulk smash, it's fine.
Sure, but if you're going to show Hulk talk, we want a more coherent Hulk.
I would want a slightly smarter Hulk if he's going to talk.
And maybe he is.
And maybe he is, but it's not conveyed there, is what I'm saying.
Sure.
So, like, reviewing a trailer and what you think of a movie can always be...
Yes.
Because if you go back... I love telling people to do this. Go back, find a movie that is panned, that is awful, and watch its trailer. It's probably great.
Exactly.
And it might have the only minute worth of goodness in the whole movie. And most trailers show you the ending in the movie. I love that as well, if you go back and watch.
Exactly. Yeah, they tend to do that. There's a few trailers that even spoil the ending of films, yeah, too.
It's insane. But I think the trailers were, all four trailers, I think, were pretty good, and they represented what they got across the points mm-hmm. that they needed to get across. I would say the best looking movie is Thor.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's the best trailer if we're going to go by.
Wow.
If we're going to go by, the trailer needs to show you that things are changing and this is what is happening. Walking Dead accomplished that better.
Okay. I don't, if in terms of the change, then yes, I can agree with that.
Yeah. I could care less. I could stop watching Walking Dead forever and I'd be okay and I could live with
that. That's such a crazy sentiment because, I was going to say everybody, but a good portion of people I talk to have that sentiment where they're just like, they don't care.
I read the book because I've read 150 issues.
And you want to, you know.
And it's like, why stop now? And exactly. Like, the book will have its ups and downs. It'll do crazy mm-hmm. things. The book, what it does better than the show, mm-hmm. and the show may start doing this, the book will, because characters, you turn a page, a major character could die.
Mm-hmm.
It's common in that book. They keep introducing new people to take over. Like, they make you care about this nothing character. They become bigger because you start weeding people out and you're like, who's even left from, you know, 30 issues ago? Who's yeah. left from 50 issues ago? And it's like, oh, he was nobody. He did nothing. He was just always background. But now all the people in front of him have been killed. Now he's more important.
Yeah.
So, and I'm, that's
very,
not
it's very similar to what happens. I'm not going to spoil anything, but that's what happens with the Red Wedding in Game of Thrones.
Sure.
A lot of people went and saw that and went, how can the show even go on?
Right.
And yeah,
Game of Thrones is the same exact way.
And Game of Thrones does that. And in fact, it is actually better that happened because right. those characters that, you know, you were just like, are there, have increased in limelight.
So when you rewatch it, it's kind of interesting.
It's kind of interesting.
To see them when they're not really doing anything, mm-hmm. and then they do. So the book of Walking Dead, the comic of Walking Dead, is comparable to the show of Game of Thrones in this,
okay.
in this regard. To where, okay. you know, any major character could go at any point and someone mm-hmm. else will fill that void. And it's about the group in general. Walking Dead, yes, Rick is your main character, but the group ultimately needs to be your character.
Yes. Overall, though, I think, obviously, my opinion is Thor is the best trailer overall.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what you were saying about change, yeah, I could definitely...
I just look at trailers differently.
Sure. Just a side note, my favorite part in any trailer, though,
mm-hmm.
is the reference to the lanterns.
Yes, that was kind of cool.
Just Steppenwolf going, there's no lanterns here. Oh, that was so awesome.
Because
yeah. I'm a giant Green Lantern fan, so I want Green Lantern to succeed. And to see it referenced in the DCU makes me hopeful that they'll be able to do that buddy cop film in the
yeah.
future.
Yeah, that would be great.
And Sean's doing Hal Jordan buddy cop film with little Guy Gardner sprinkled in there.
That'd be great.
That would be fantastic.
Well, hopefully by that point, DC has all the kinks worked out of their movie universe.
Exactly.
And they're going strong. That would be great.
Yes.
What if you got a Joss Whedon Green Lantern movie? What would you even do?
No, a Joss Whedon, Geoff Johns Green Lantern film. I don't think I could hold an erection longer than that.
So let me say this. Let's say that happens, and then for whatever reason the movie's bad. What happens to Schuster?
He tears a hole in the universe because of his sheer disappointment.
Well, thank you, everybody, for hanging in with us.
Yeah.
This was a very good episode. I feel like we covered a lot of good...
we really did.
Good points. We've explained ourselves well. We don't always do that. Sometimes
no,
we just,
we're always fighting.
Yeah, no.
We're always... Yeah. It's always Tim versus Schuster. Dawn of Justice.
Round two, fight.
But no, this was a good, solid...
It was good.
It was
I enjoyed
a Comic-Con edition of the podcast. I mean... What more could you ask
counting
for?
Counting it up.
Counting it up.
I'll be in New York, so maybe I'll do some
stuff. Ooh, that's
stuff.
Right, you will be.
Maybe I'll do some stuff up there. We'll see.
Should vlog.
Nah, I'm too lazy.
Okay.
When I say do something, it's probably just take picture with cosplayers and then put them up later.
Exactly, as everyone does.
Yeah, but that's fine. That gets a lot of hits on YouTube. That's what we're going to do.
Exactly.
Cosplay New York Comic Con. Here I am with...
All the tags.
All of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't stop until we have Wild Dog. Where's Wild Dog? Oh, there it is.
There will be boobs in the thumbnail.
Oh, of course there's boobs in the thumbnail.
We know how YouTube works.
Yeah.
We have, you know, 80 people subscribe. We know how this works.
Yeah. Sometimes we put things on YouTube. Anyways, thank you guys.
Thank you.